Good afternoon. The time is 1:31. This meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee will come to order. We are in room 105, Belt's room here in the Thomas Stewart Building, in the beautiful capital city of Juneau, Alaska. Today is Monday, February 27th, 2023. Members present are Senator Merrick, Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Bishop, Senator Dunbar, and myself, Senator Bjorkman. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please turn off or silence your cell phones to recognize and welcome our recording secretary, Juliana Singh, and our LAO moderator, Jake Wolf. We have one bill on our agenda for today, Senate Bill 60, entitled Repeal Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. With us today, we have the bill sponsor, the Honorable Senator Bill Wilikowski. Provide an introduction of the bill. Senator, would you please join us?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, members. For the record, Bill Wilikowski, State Senator, representing East Anchorage. And here with me is my staff, David Dunsmore. Mr. Chairman, this bill would repeal the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission and return the cases to the Superior Court. For decades, the Alaska court system handled these cases, workers' compensation cases. In 2005, the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission was created by the legislature, and there were two goals that were stated at that time for this appeals commission. One was to have a specialized agency that would reduce Supreme Court appeals by creating precedent, and the other was to save time. Neither of these has happened. In fact, in most cases, about roughly 50% of the cases at least, these cases take far longer than they did. And the Supreme Court has ruled that the commission cannot set precedent. So neither of the goals has been met. And when you look at the numbers, what you'll see is that this commission handled in 2022 five cases. They published five decisions. There were 14 cases, five decisions. By repealing this commission and returning these cases to the Superior Court, it'll save money by eliminating this agency. It'll help fill the Alaska workers' compensation budget deficit, and it'll preserve workers' and insurers' right to have their appeals heard in court. It'll save at least $433,000 per year. The commission has two full-time staff, the attorney chair, and an administrative support position, and commissioners who are entitled to travel, as well as per diem. The court system has confirmed it will be submitting a zero fiscal note for this bill. This year, the governor is proposing to increase the commission funding to $479,000 to pay for the attorney chair's statutory pay raise. So the amount saved by this bill would actually increase. The Workers' Compensation Commission no longer has the workload, quite frankly, to justify its existence. In 2006, the first full year of its existence, the commission received 49 cases that were filed, and it issued 42 published decisions. As I mentioned, in 2022, they received 14 new cases and had five published decisions. As the report from legislative research shows, this is not the result of COVID, but part of a long-term trend of falling cases. The workload is so small that the Office of Administrative Hearings has recommended the chair be assigned non-workers' compensation cases. Workers' compensation claims have consistently fallen over the last decade, and it's reasonable to expect the number of appeals will continue to fall. Returning these cases to the Superior Court will reduce appeals to the Supreme Court, leading to faster final resolution. When these appeals were heard by the Superior Court back prior to 2005, 25% of the decisions were appealed to the Supreme Court. Since 2011, that number has doubled to 50% under the Appeals Commission. Supreme Court appeals can delay final resolution by years, and often do. The Alaska Workers' Compensation Program has a growing budget deficit. SB 60 will reduce that. Alaska Workers' Safety and Compensation Program is intended to be funded by taxes on workers' compensation insurance premiums, but these taxes are no longer enough to fund that program. Currently, the program costs $9.1 million, but in FY 2022, only $6.1 million was raised in taxes. This year, That is expected to fall to $5.5 million. Currently, the deficit is being filled by UGF funds, but if the deficit continues to grow, a tax increase will likely be necessary. The Superior Court is better equipped to handle these cases. As an appellate body, the commission primarily handles matters of law, but only the chair of the commission is required to be an attorney. None of the current commissioners list any legal training in their biographies. The courts have more resources available for pro se or low-income parties than the commission does. For example, the courts provide translation services for people who speak other languages. The commission does not. Mr. Chairman, this bill has been around for several years. It previously passed the other body unanimously. I'm bringing it up again because I'm hopeful that we can save a little bit of money and help close our budget deficit and eliminate an agency that has outlived its efficiency. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to answer any questions. I have my staff here with a short slide presentation also. Thank you.
Are there questions for Senator Wilkowski? Seeing none, Mr. Dunsmore, thank you for joining us today. Welcome to Senate Labor and Commerce.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm David Dunsmore, staff to Senator Wilkowski. And as Senator Wilkowski said, the four main things that are achieved by Senate Bill 60, by repealing the workers' compensation, repealing the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission and returning jurisdiction to the Superior Court, it saves $433,000 a year, or as the Senator noted, the Governor's current proposal would raise that by about $40,000, and it will help fill the budget deficit and make Alaska's workers' compensation and safety program more solvent. This chart just shows the current structure and how this bill would change. You see basically, if a worker filed a claim and is contested, it goes to the Workers' Compensation Board and will be heard by a hearing panel of the hearing officer chairing it and one labor member and one management member. Currently, if that decision's appealed, it goes to the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission, which is structured the same way, where it'd be heard by the attorney chair and one labor member and one management member. This bill just would return to the pre-2005 system where those appeals would be heard by the Superior Court, and the final appeal from both of those would be to the Alaska Supreme Court. Currently, the commission has two full-time employees, as well as expenses for commissioners' travel and per diem. And in the past, when similar legislation has been introduced, the court system has testified that they can absorb these cases with a zero fiscal note, and the court system has confirmed they will be providing a zero fiscal note this year. And I will note one thing we appreciate is when the court system has looked at this in the past, they've been kind of overly conservative about estimating how many appeals they would have. So even if we see a year where there's an inordinate number of appeals, they should still be able to handle it with a zero fiscal note. This chart just shows the long-term trend, how cases and decisions have fallen dramatically. And in the last year, there were only five published decisions. In the 29th legislature, the House Labor and Workforce Development Finance Subcommittee evaluated the Department of Labor's efforts, and they identified the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission as an ineffective division and recommended it be eliminated. And that was in 2015 when they had a significantly higher caseload. The commission has not achieved its goal of providing final resolution faster than the courts. According to testimony from when the bail crediting commission was passed, the Superior Court took 8 to 18 months to decide these cases, and it was estimated that the commission would take 6 months. Instead, in 2018, it took over a year on average to decide a case. As the workload has fallen, that's come down a little bit to 9.3. But as more of these cases end up going to the Supreme Court, it leads to a much longer time for final resolution in the average case. When the Superior Court handled these cases, the testimony was that about 25% of the Superior Court decisions were appealed to the Supreme Court. In total, 36% of the commission's cases have been appealed to the Supreme Court. But since 2011, it's 50% of the cases have been appealed. So the trend is for an increasing number to be appealed. And this chart just shows the growing budget deficit for the workers' compensation and safety program. It costs approximately $9.1 million. And I noticed I did not put the bees or millions on the chart. And the tax revenue to fund the program has been declining and is estimated to continue to decline. So we have almost a $4 million budget deficit anticipated for this fiscal year, which is being backfilled by UGF. But if this long-term structural deficit isn't addressed, it will likely result in higher taxes and then, you know, higher workers' compensation costs for employers. So this would eliminate over $400,000 in that deficit. And yes, the bottom line, it saves over $400,000 annually, preserves the party's right to have their cases heard in a timely manner, will reduce appeals to the Supreme Court, and make our workers' compensation system more solvent. And Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions or to walk the committee through the section.
Excellent. Senator Dunbar has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A statement and then a question. I'll say that I noticed that there were two full-time employees that whose jobs would go away if we pass this. And I'll just say I am very confident that there's another part of the state government that would eagerly accept them. So this is a good time to perhaps if we can find places to reduce, because they will be in such incredible demand in other parts of our state governments. Hopefully we can retain them. But my question, and this is actually a little bit outside the bounds of your of this bill specifically, but on that last slide, two slides ago, can you explain why the tax revenue is declining so precipitously?
Through the chair, Senator Dunbar, I can do a little research and respond to the committee in writing. My understanding is it's currently like a fixed rate as a percentage and of premiums, and as premium declined, the percentage declines.
Looks like Senator Bishop might be able to answer my question.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you. We don't have anybody from the Department of Labor online, do we? Because I'll take a stab at it, but I've been gone a long time. But
well,
I don't think
Mr. Collins is here in the room with us.
Okay, Mr. Collins, so I'll take a stab at it. I think this slide's not a bad thing. It's showing that our safety and health programs from the department has been proactive ever since about 2006. And our accident rates are going the right direction. Hence, you don't have the revenue coming in from the premiums because our experience rates for showing we've got a safer workforce. So this is a good slide for me, but it's been a while since I've been down there.
We'll invite Mr. Collins to testify in a minute, and you can ask him more questions. Other questions for Mr. Dunsmore?
Good job.
I have one question. When cases are appealed from the Workers' Compensation Commission, what percentage of those are upheld by the Superior Court?
Mm-hmm.
Chair Bjorkman, there is in the bill packet a chart prepared from legislative research. The overall throughout the history of the commission says about 48.4% of cases are either dismissed, remanded, vacated, or denied. So those could also be out of court settlements. 25.2% of appeals are affirmed. 16.1% are reversed. 6.5%, it's a split decision, and then 3.9% of those cases are still pending.
Thank you. Right. Other questions for Senator Wilkowski or Mr. Dunsmore? Thank you very much. Take a brief at ease. And we're back on the record. 1:50 in the afternoon here in the Belts Room 105, Thomas Stewart Building. Joining us now for some answers to some questions, Chuck Collins with the Department of Labor. Mr. Collins, please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Charles Collins, Director of Workers' Compensation for the state of Alaska.
Very good. Senator Dunbar.
Thank you. Chair Bjorkman, and thank you, Mr. Collins, for joining us. So I'm just, I'm a freshman legislator, so I'm always trying to learn. And there was a slide here from the Department of Revenue fall 2019, and it shows a fall in revenue tax income for the workers' compensation program. And I was just wondering if you could explain, why that occurred.
Through the chair, Senator Dunbar. So, workers' compensation safety account is filled by a 2.9% fee on top of all workers' compensation insurance premiums, and also on those that are self-insured, such as the state of Alaska, for the entire costs of their system annually. That money is placed into what we call the WISCA fund, workers' safety and compensation account, and then used by workers' compensation, and some of it is used by ACOSH also for spending out of. For some time, we have noticed a nice drop in revenue. So, history lesson, in 2012, Alaska had the highest workers' compensation premiums in the entire nation. 167% of median, as I recall, 163, something like that. In 2012, then Director Monagle, along with the board at Alaska Workers' Compensation, made a radical move to adjust our fee schedule and go from usual and customary charges to CMS-based fees, knowing that this would impact businesses in the state of Alaska, and I'm not talking about those that are looking to save money on that, but there's actually businesses in Alaska that make their money by providing medical services to injured people, and we did not want to cause an issue with being able to not have providers, especially in locations that may not be as urbanized as Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau. We were very careful, so we set up what's called a Medical Services Review Committee. Self-regulated doctors and insurance adjusters and, the director of workers' compensation worked on this. And every year we have monitored the costs, adjusted the costs, tied to the CMS model. So when somebody went, you know, went to the doctor, and that what we have done is we have lowered the cost from 2012 of being the highest to 2022. We were number 21 in the nation, 107% of median. So we have made a larger move in medical costs downward than any other state in the union ever has. And we did this by self-regulation. We've lost no providers, and we have made it somewhat less expensive for workers and employers. Now, what that does is for what will be the 10th year in a row, premiums for workers' compensation insurance have been adjusted lower. So every year the Division of Insurance sets those premiums on recommendations from the National Council of Comprehensive Insurance, which is an actuary that works with 40 jurisdictions in the country, and they make a recommendation. The Division of Insurance, the director there and her group, they decide whether they're going to accept those as is or adjust those, and over the years we've been able to lower that. And still, since insurance is a heavily regulated industry, we have a very good idea, that is, the state has a very good idea, of whether or not those insurers are still going to be able to cover those costs, and the actuary has said yes. Thus, we have lowered the cost. That's maybe at least half of the equation. The other half is my friends at Labor Standards and my friends in the industries themselves have all become so aware of the cost that it is for companies to have injured employees. They have all taken a drastic step to make the workplace a much safer place. So anytime you go to one of these places, so maybe you've visited a site, especially a remote mine site or somebody's fish processing place, and you see that little sign that says, X amount of days since the last lost time incident. That awareness is what's happening. When I have visited, and at one time actually worked at, say, Kensington Project out here, daily brief safety briefings before every shift, weekly safety meetings for all of the supervisors. It's this type of awareness across Alaska and basically across America that's made it a much safer place to work in America. And that stands on the shoulders of people way before me. So,
thank you, Mr. Collins. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That was incredibly informative and thorough. I appreciate it.
My job. Thank you.
Excellent.
Oh, Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure if, thank you for your presentation. I'm not sure if you can answer this question, but I'm curious. In the municipality of Anchorage, several years ago, they went for solid waste disposal from trucks now where they don't even have to get out of the truck to get the garbage, where in the past they had to get out. So I'm wondering if you have any statistics on how workers' compensation numbers may have dropped since the municipality of Anchorage implemented this new vehicle type.
Through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson, I'm sorry I can't speak directly to the municipality's numbers. What I can tell you is just last week I spoke to two of the providers that do the pickup of garbage because I wanted to ask them how they were compensating, especially in Anchorage, but Juneau has the same thing in Fairbanks and other places. Because of some of the commercial areas, they still are pushing those three-yard dumpsters and worried about slips and falls, which if you talk to somebody in labor, they will tell you the number one injury is a slip and fall event. And they were talking about how they have better and they actually have PPE, in this case ice cleats and better gloves and stuff, and that they have been this winter putting two in the trucks for the commercial pickups where they have to push the dumpsters. So if they're going to a restaurant or maybe a hotel or a retail place where they have a push dumpster instead of a roll on and off, they have actually added some crew for that just to make sure that they cut down on those. This is another case of where an employer is consciously taking that first step, that prevention step to keep people from being injured. And of course, I was able to give them an attaboy for that because that's what I can give them. But it's the best I can do. But yes, it was fantastic. As to the numbers, I'm afraid I can't. I could probably pull that from, it'd take a while, but we could probably provide that for you if you need it.
Thank you. If I can follow up, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
I of contact Municipality of Anchorage, but this whole conversation made me think about that, and that's the reason why I took my chances to ask you that question, but I can follow up on that one, but thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Mr. Winters. I'm sorry, Mr. Collins. Thank you very much. At this time, I would like to open public testimony. Is there anyone in the room who wishes to testify to Senate Bill 60? Mr. Don Etheridge, please join us. Welcome to Senate Labor and Commerce.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Don Etheridge. I'm here on behalf of the Alaska AFL-CIO. And this is the way I see this this committee, this makeup of the Comp Appeals Commission. It was a failed experiment. When it was originally passed, the conversations that we had with those that were pushing it, well, this is going to make it all go faster, and if it doesn't, then we can fix it. Well, I think it's time to fix it because it's just not making it faster. It's making the appeals longer and more appeals in the long run. And Senator Wilikowski gave you all the numbers that I have too, so I'll just cut it short at that.
Thank you. Questions from the committee for Mr. Etheridge? Thank you. Is there anyone online that would wish to testify? Not seeing anyone. Anyone else in the room? I'll hold public testimony open and we will set this bill aside. The Senate Labor and Commerce Committee will meet again on Wednesday, March 1st, when we will have a second hearing on Senate Bill 70. As there is no further business to come before Senate Labor and Commerce, this meeting is adjourned at 2 p.m.